Hi. Hi, everyone. Can the secretary just kind of do a quick roll call so that we can know if we have a quorum officially,
yeah,
so that I can call them in order?
I just got on, and I don't have the list right in front of me, but I can get it in a minute.
Are you online?
I'm online, but I'm a little... I have it just a second here.
I can email it.
But it's my computer is slow, so... It doesn't get... it's really slow. Well, maybe everybody who's here should announce themselves in the meanwhile.
You want me to call it for you? Is that proper?
Well, that would be... Sure, I think it's proper.
And you can
check save it. A little time. My computer is running very slow right now, so... I can... Why don't you while I...
Okay. Mary Berg?
Present.
Lisa Davis? Lisa Davis? Absent. Ben Freel? No longer.
It's Brian.
Hold on. Delete that. Mm-hmm. Terry Goodman?
Here.
Cheryl Griffin? Cheryl Ife Griffith? Absent. Mark Hernandez. Absent. Bertel Reimers here. Mark Roberts. Rob Robinson. Thomas Wolfen, Brian Swain,
here,
present. Bonnie Batterstow,
here,
Harrison Wheel,
here,
Ted Wisgo,
here,
Don White,
here,
and that's eight people, right, secretary,
eight
Mary?
Eight? Pardon me?
That's eight people, right?
One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's eight people.
Okay.
So
it's 7:43 p.m. We have established a quorum, so I call the meeting to order. I just emailed an agenda, and I'm sure a lot of you have not received it yet. Can I just read it out loud for anyone?
Please, for the sake of transparency to people listening online.
Okay. I wanted to call the meeting to order and then facilitate approval of the agenda. Approval of the minutes. That's three. Four would be reports. Any reports there are. Don White's brief summary of what the audit committee is doing at the last PNB meeting in New York. We never got to that. Part D of reports, the subcommittee reformed. At last audit committee meeting, even though there's, we should have that, just old business, which is five, motion on local station audit, which was out of position. Six, on old business, would be determined if we need external auditors, the Donald Warren and Rob Robinson proposals. Seven, policies and procedure manual from Ben Garcia / policies and procedures by Finance Department, Lonnie Hicks. Seven, votes on excused absences. I mean, that's it. Nine, inconsistencies in reporting procedures across the network. Under new business, 10, the due-to from which are the interdepartmental transfers throughout the network. 11, discussion of documents uploaded and mailed to the group. If anyone has any questions or want to bring specific issues. 12, loose ends, brief overview and discussion, and I think we should always discuss the mandate and the responsibilities of the group if we have time at the end of the meeting, and then adjournment of the meeting.
Move approval of the agenda.
need a second on committees. That's right.
Are there any objections to the approval of the agenda?
One question, Don White here.
Yes.
Bertold, can you just clarify? You had I don't know if it was old business or an independent agenda item, and you referred to Donna Warren. Is that the motion around auditing at each signal area station?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So that's... Yeah, I just wanted to be sure that issue is listed, and it sounds like it is, so I have no objection.
Bertold?
Yes?
This is Ted from Houston. I would like to request that we approve the agenda, but not approve it with the prerequisite that it takes a two-thirds vote to amend the agenda or to add additional items as we see fit throughout the meeting, that any items can be added by any individual as we see fit.
Based on a majority vote, right?
No, just putting them on. No vote. Just
what?
Terry? Yeah, if we don't approve the agenda, then it is just rough guide for the conduct of the meeting, and so we would be able to proceed the way that Ted suggests if we just go ahead without approval of the agenda.
Okay. I have a question. You know, let me try to make this as informal and formal at the same time as possible. It seems like, you know, the eight of us, you know, worked pretty well, you know, in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the agenda can be just a basic guideline, and then, you know, we can try this. And if there are any chaos going on here, we can go back to approving of the agenda. You know, I have no problem with this at all because, for example, I can see loose and brief overview and discussion of the mandate and duties of this group could move up on the agenda. I just feel that the Donna Warren motion should be discussed, and that's basically it. So anyone has any objections to Ted Weisgold's proposal for this meeting? I don't hear any objection. So we're going to proceed with the agenda as a guideline, and so therefore it's not being approved officially, and we can add or remove items as we see fit and proper throughout this meeting. Is that okay?
Okay.
You bet.
Let's go to the approval of the minutes. Has everyone read the minutes by Mary Berg?
Don't hear anything.
Hello?
I don't hear anyone.
I'm surprised that it appeared that we didn't do anything except discuss Rob Robinson's proposal. I thought we got a little further than that.
Let me see. Well, that's what I had written down here. So
we also said, as it says, after 9:39, I guess that's the time of the meeting, that we have future meetings set for every fourth Thursday through October of this year.
Right. And they've been posted on the calendar.
Yeah.
The BNB calendar.
Which was no mean feat. We originally had it through January, but we discovered that the fourth Thursday in November was Thanksgiving, so that's where that...
Mm-hmm.
So we approved July 27, August 24th, September 28th, and October 26th meeting. Hello?
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's right.
So that should be reflected in the minutes?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's there. I've reviewed the minutes. I've went back and forth with Mary. I don't see anything. I think it's pretty pretty decent. Any objection to approval of the minutes as presented?
Well, I see an inconsistency that gives me pause, and I don't know the minutes may be correct, but I'm not sure. It's under Rob Robinson's report. I guess we can, since we're going to be reviewing that tonight, I can address that at that time.
Okay. Okay. What inconsistency did you see, by the way?
Mail room is over by Margo, my ID address.
Pardon?
Actually, at this point in time, there are two of those white buildings. They should be right there at the edge of the
dock. I can't hear you.
I hear a man and a woman talking sort of off mic. Is this...
Bertold, were you asking me, this is Ted, if what inconsistency I saw?
Yes.
Okay, under Roman numeral 1, the first paragraph begins with the word specify and ends with the phrase Pacifica's budgetary, financial, and accounting operations.
Mm-hmm.
And then two paragraphs later, it says in the second sentence, provide for the judicial health of the foundation, which I very much support. But if we're only going to be dealing with budgetary, financial, and accounting, and not a word maybe legal operations, then there is the inconsistency that one paragraph says it all has to do with money, whereas the other paragraph says that it has to do with the judicial health of the foundation as well.
Okay. I think that that's a good point, but I'd like to mention that I think this is the verbatim copy of Robinson's proposal.
Correct. It's just
to be discussed by us. And the argument that could be used against your argument, Ted, would be the judicial health of the foundation, meaning that if we have so many financial inconsistencies, I guess it's not judicial health, but if we have so many financial inconsistencies, we could be, you know, targeted by the, you know, Department of Justice for impropriety and so forth and so on. So that's probably what he meant, but it's probably not worded properly.
Well, we're going to be discussing that under Roman numeral 4B, as I understand it, so I think we should just move forward.
Okay. So, hearing no objection, so we're going to move on with reporting.
Okay.
I mean, the minutes have been approved without objection, so we move on to reporting. Don White, I know this is like kind of short because we didn't speak. Can you give a quick review, a brief on... you said you were going to, you know, at the New York PNB meeting, basically just a quick report.
Yeah, let me explain that the actual report did not occur at the New York meeting. The New York meeting was certain agenda items were preempted. We went overtime. So I did make a very brief report to the PNB on a conference call. But inasmuch as we don't have motions, you know, to present to the PNB, what I reported was that we had elected Bertold, you know, as our chair, and that we were meeting and that we had a collection of issues on the table before the committee, and that we would be deliberating over these and probably coming forth with motions for the PNB soon. So it was not a very substantive report. It was mainly an overview of what the audit committee is now doing.
Which one is this?
Okay. Any comment on this? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let's go forward.
Yeah, let's go forward, yes. Subcommittee form at the last audit committee meeting. Needless to tell you that due to me partially, we never really scheduled a meeting to go on with this. Don't want to point the finger, but I've been trying to get in touch with Rob Robinson, and I left message at his house, which number was posted, and for which I confirmed that it's his number due to his answering machine. I've been very unsuccessful getting him or getting him to call me back. Hello?
Did someone just come on?
Come on. Who is this?
No, I don't think that was...
No, thanks, sir. Yeah. So I'm suggesting that even though this is Rob Robinson's document, we probably, and then he was at the meeting to volunteer to be on that committee, I think we might want to just kind of bypass that and have someone else join the committee.
Okay, so shall we postpone that until
sure.
the next meeting when, with any luck, you'll have got hold of it?
The truth is I don't really think so.
What shall we do?
I think we should move on with this committee with someone else replacing Rob Robinson, and then if he wants to chime in, I always call him to tell him we have a meeting. I set up a meeting without him into consideration, and I let him know if he wants to join, he can join and discuss it. But I don't think we should wait for him to.
Okay.
I mean that's mm-hmm. my experience with Pacifica and so forth and so on, and I think that's the way we should go on.
This is Terry. I have an alternative suggestion.
Sure.
How about the members of the work group post their review and revision suggestions regarding Rob's document to the audit committee list, and just on list try to come up with some agreement of what to report or recommend to the full committee at the next committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to have three individual posting, critiquing the document and what aspects of it we like and do not like.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should have an exchange throughout the Yahoo group so that we can have a pretty decent document everybody's aware of.
Yeah, solicit feedback from the rest of the members.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Ted.
Yes, Ted.
I think what Mary just said is something I support, but it shouldn't even require that the working group or the subcommittee begin its work before some of us weigh in. If we have ideas, we could send them almost immediately.
Sure.
And we can go from there and bring this thing to hopefully fruition by our next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would further suggest that I would appreciate if all these feedback would be posted to the group, and also if you could also put my personal email address on that so that I can get the documents and just compile them into a Word document here and kind of, you know, compile the file if possible.
May we discuss this for a few minutes before we go on to the next item?
The point of information, if I may, your personal email, that is the same one. It's the same address that you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
at H, whatever it is, here, HIPUSA.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's not a different one. Okay.
Ted?
The question I raised earlier about the legal stuff,
yeah.
Based on my very vague recollection of what we were told by the Pacifica auditor, whose name escapes me at this moment, help me.
Ross Wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Get a name like that.
I don't know.
Wisdom.
Long day. That's how. that audits are not just about money. That audits. Did someone just join the call? I assume not. That audits are also about making sure that if you decide you're going to have certain procedures, whether they're financial procedures or bylaws procedures or standing rules procedures, and if those procedures are being violated, an audit committee should, as an internal audit, should be doing some work in that area as well. My question, and I hope someone has a good answer, and I'm kind of expecting someone will, is that there is no other committee that can act as a watchdog over the five signal areas, and therefore it is a appropriate purview of this committee to point out violations of one kind or another. And I would, that's why I am planning on recommending that this final document also include information or the words judicial or legal or something along those lines.
Don White here.
Don?
That's who I thought would talk next.
Well,
he beat me to the punch.
Well, actually, I absolutely agree. I think that Ted is raising a really important issue here. And the longer I serve in Pacifica, and the longer I serve on this committee and on the Pacifica National Board, the more aware I am that the actual governance of this foundation has very, very minimal control and very, very minimal access to and very minimal understanding of and oversight regarding the finances of the five stations. And I agree with, well, I think Ted was making, I think he was advocating, I agree if he was advocating, I agree with Ted, that auditing at the five stations is just not how much money in each account and so on, but it's how the processes and procedures at each signal area are in place and adhered to. Now, as an example, if an LSB approves a budget for a station, those are line items. Now, I'm not saying that anyone is doing anything illegal, but I do know that there are many examples of how people spend money without regard to where in the budget this money is coming from. And another problem is that local station boards right now are having difficulty putting together the information they need to be a good, responsible, viable partner in budget development, because the budget, the financial teams in stations answer to the GMs, and often without approval of the GM, they won't release information. So the last thing I'll say, because I'm a little bit, I'm really very interested in this issue, but I don't want to talk beyond the next sentence. We need to have we need to have auditing of finances at the local stations that are answerable to governance in
yes.
addition to the management.
Yes. Anyone wants to talk about that? Because I have a lot to say.
I do, but of course, Mr. Cherry, you go first.
It's your choice. Well, you know, I'll try to be very quick. At the WBAI Local Station Board meeting, last meeting we had, there was this whole thing about the program director came and it was all of a sudden pointed out that, you know, he didn't have much say or authority in working with the general manager in working out the budget. And it's like, wow, what a discovery here. You know, the way a budget in the real world really works is the finance department at the national board, you know, the national whatever office would come up with a number. This is the number we need to work with. And then they would figure out, you know, how much of that number they need from each station. So the general manager of each station would have a number. Say, let's say you have to bring in $5 million, whatever it is. And that general manager, based on this $5 million, is going to look at each department, you know, operation, news, whatever, and have the director of each department with the program director, you know, and give them a budget. See, you know, so there should always be friction. There should be an argument between the general manager and the program director and the director of each department fighting for more money for their budget and vice versa, and within a limit. And at the end of the day, they would present their budget to the general manager and their argument, and then there would be the slash and burn, and no one would be happy on either side. That's the way a budget works. No one is ever happy on either side. That's a decent budget. So now, how do we, you know, implement anything that would bring us to that point, you know, where sometimes there's lack of transparency, there's lack of, you know, the general manager or the program director or the directors of this department are not participating in this whole process. And that's why I think it's important where all the policies and procedure manual, the thing that Lonnie Hicks started writing about policy and procedure manual for the finances, accounting and audit finance at Pacifica Primer by Lonnie Hicks, all this should be compiled into a document. This is the document that we should all be working on as far as the governing body of, you know, the finances and the procedures governing finances and decision made about finances and everything else at the station. This is the big ticket item, and I think this could take the entire network's time so that we can focus on it and draft a document, such a document. And that's the governance that you guys were talking about. That's big. Ted?
I wanted to say that it's beyond that. It's beyond the Finance Committee report, but I could start there.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if we have a Finance Committee and its task is to draft the budget of the station, and that committee doesn't produce minutes of its meeting, but yet comes forward with a recommendation for the budget, but the board is not able to see who voted, and assuming there were roll call votes, or who made motions in the drafting of the budget, I think that ought to be something that this committee would, because we have representatives from all five signals, and we should have access to all of the reports of all of the committees and all of the boards, we ought to be in a position to look at those kinds of violations of the bylaws. We had a committee report last night. It was a recommendation of a special committee, and when I asked if that special committee had properly posted the time and place of its meetings, and if Ryan is still on the call, I got an answer that was ostensibly no, that they didn't properly announce the time and place of their meetings. And when I asked if there were minutes of the meetings, they said the report recommending the continuation of this particular body is the minutes. That strikes me as being inaccurate, and it strikes me as being a part of the audit process. It's not just about dollars and cents. It's about procedural protocols, especially if they're egregious. I'm not looking to make a big to-do about small stuff, but I see us as being different from the governance committee. The governance committee passes the rules of the foundation. Therefore, they're not in a position to evaluate, as I see it, how well those rules are being followed. I think we as an audit committee are. And that's what I was saying before. I don't know if it came across loud and clear, but that's what I'm saying. I'm done.
I support that. I was talking about numbers, but, I mean, I think it has to do with policies and procedures, respecting them, transparency, which is a big thing at Pacifica, I believe. I think you're absolutely right about that. But, again, to me, this is a huge task, because you are talking about the subcommittee working to bring information to the finance committee reports that will be documented and presented to the board, to LSB. That's not even really happening properly. You're talking about, you know, are we going to demand, request some format of reporting so that the spreadsheet or the recommendations are presented in a pretty decent way with some analysis on a regular basis? This is this number and how they are arrived at. You know, IDF, for example, we presented two sheets, the last year's budget and this year's budget. They were in two different sheets, as opposed to it would be nice if they were in two different columns next to each other with like a percentage analysis of increase or decrease for each of those line items.
Bertolt, can I interrupt you for a moment? This is Chad. I would like to suggest that if no one is speaking out against the broad range of what both you, Don, and I are talking about, then we know that this subcommittee can go forward with this kind of a mindset, and we can leave this agenda item and move on. I don't think we have to do the fine tuning that you're talking about right now. I think that I'm certainly in agreement that we need to have policies and procedures, and you say that Lonnie Hicks is supposed to be developing a policies and procedures manual. We just need to make sure that it includes things related to protocol as well as finances.
Okay, and a timeline for it. I emailed you a document to that extent that was started in July 2003.
Me or the whole committee?
The whole LSB. I mean the whole audit committee. And I believe I also put it in the file section. It's called the Pacifica Foundation Policies and Procedure Manual. So
you emailed them. I can't get them online, but you emailed them.
Yeah, I received them.
Okay. That was a beginning of an effort by Lonnie, where he was talking about things like revenues and receipts, bank reconciliation, different things like that. I think we can start with that document. I think Lonnie put some time into this. Okay.
What was the date that you sent that out?
Like 2 weeks ago. Lonnie X.
July 13th, you're saying?
Yeah.
I have no emails. I had my...
You uploaded the file on the 7th.
I don't have any emails from you, Bertolt, from May 31st to... Wait a second. From June 26th to July 25th. So if you could send that to me again, I would appreciate it.
And it can be quickly or... I look it up, your email address.
He sent it on July 25th. To PNB audit groups and to the other one, and to each of us individually.
Yeah, I think he sent it.
This past Wednesday. Monday. Tuesday, sorry.
Okay, I'll send it to Ted again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I thought he sent it earlier as well. Okay, but I can't find it right
now. Excuse me?
Mr. Don White here.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel that I have... Because I've already spoken at length, if there's any other member of the committee who wishes to speak before me, I certainly would respect that. But I do have just one comment before we leave this issue.
Okay.
Shall I go ahead?
Yes.
Sure.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm not sure I fully agree with Ted's view that this PNB audit committee should try to oversee, if I understand him correctly, oversee the procedures that are being used in the five signal areas by finance committees of LSBs and the LSB itself. I just think that we probably don't have the capacity to step in and monitor those procedures. My emphasis here is not whether or not good policies and procedures are being used by finance committees, LSB treasurers, and the total LSB. I think we have to rely on them to monitor the process in their own signal areas. My focus, when I spoke, my focus was getting a process in place where an auditor is in each, or one auditor travels to each signal area, or some auditor is at the disposal of the finance committee of the LSB and the LSB to look over the finances inside that station. Now, I'm not going to mention signal areas, but there are some signal areas where management apparently functions fairly unilaterally and unsupervised with very little oversight from governance, because governance is, you know, I mean, a kind of, you know, it's not a paid position, and people don't have a lot of time and energy, and they don't want to fight about things. So I think we need to institutionalize an audit process inside each signal area that answers to governance rather than to management. And I would not agree just with that one aspect of Ted's comment that the improprieties or the lack of good processes that each of the five signal areas should come under the purview of this committee.
Terry, on that?
Who's this?
Terry.
Terry?
Yeah. When in reviewing Rob's proposal for a mandate for this committee, the work group comes up with a better definition of our charge. That will address the issue that people have been talking about. We will either include non-financial stuff or not. So that can be a discussion for the listserv. And I have identified the email in which Bertold sent to the list the Pacifica Policies and Procedures Manual from Lonnie Hicks, was sent July 7th at 11:50 a.m. as an attachment.
I just sent it again to a list of a few people that I have here, including Ted. Ted, your email address is very short, right? I just don't want to say it out loud.
You've got two. Which one, Ted?
Oh, it arrived. I'm here. I'm in front of my computer.
You received that?
8:16 p.m., 7:27.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
This is Evelyn. I did not receive the first one or the second one.
Oh, Evelyn, when did you come on?
A few minutes ago.
Oh.
I had another personnel committee meeting.
Oh, okay.
Evelyn.
Point of inquiry?
Yes.
I don't have Evelyn as a member of this committee in my committee roster.
That could explain it.
No, I do, but I just didn't have you.
Wait,
as
Evelyn whom?
Evelyn Bethune from Houston, KPFG.
Evelyn, are you a director?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So we have a director from KPFT.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I didn't have that information.
Point of information, Bertold, do you have her on the, I thought that Evelyn was added to the Yahoo list. Is that
she
correct?
Replaced Ken Freeland?
No, I'm asking Bertold if in fact she's on the audit list.
Did I send you a?
I thought she was, but I want to know if I'm mistaken.
That's Dr. Bethune.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's why I didn't recognize Evelyn. Yes. She is in the Yahoo group.
I thought so. Okay.
It's that and that's it?
It's Evelyn. Well, it's ebethune1 at houston.rr.com.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting the Yahoo, the audit committee
I got a couple of things lately, mm-hmm. and I also got something from Don concerning that.
Okay.
Because something is going on with the email because of, I guess, our hacking issue. And some things have been delayed, so.
Okay.
It's not coming as quickly as it normally does.
Okay. Interesting. But you are getting the audit. Okay, so you're on the list.
The last thing that I'm showing from Bertrand is back on the 17th, I think.
Oh.
So she received
you didn't get the tentative agenda already of that? That was sent today? Or yesterday?
I got the last thing I got, I'm sorry, was the 25th.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did get that.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry for the delay here, guys. I think the subcommittee has a pretty good idea of what might be, the discussions and the issues. I don't think Dawn and Ted are that far apart. The devil is in the detail here as far as, what would be the purview of the Finance Committee, the National Finance Committee, and, how much money we're willing to look at, because auditing is pretty expensive how we're going to do this. Are we going to get some students, college students, to go and do some auditing at the station so that, we can have something cheap but good and, so forth and so on. There are many different ways we have to look at this. And so the cost realistically how we're going to get this done is of the essence that we can discuss at the subcommittee. Does anyone else want to join that subcommittee? Actually, it's not necessary, right, because everyone is going to send email back and forth on the Yahoo group and discuss this?
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
Okay. But please send some feedback, even if you have nothing to say, just basically send an email saying, listen, I've looked at this, or I didn't have the time to look at this, and I have nothing to say at this time. That way we can feel that something going on here. So can we move on to the old business, motion on local station audit?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we're sort of on that, are we?
We are kind of on that. So that's why I think, it's a pretty good committee because we're kind of discussing these issues without being totally proper. And so I don't think it's proper to come out and, vote on one or another on the motion by Donna Warren.
At this time, no, I agree. I don't think that it's.
Very
I think that's what we're going to be doing. I don't think we should be voting on it at this time. Well, your item says determine if we need this as
yes.
per their proposal.
Did I hear Terry?
Yes.
That
was
me,
Terry?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, when we discussed this last meeting with. Someone from the finance office on our call, we discovered that Alvin Yip had the position of Pacifica's internal auditor. So I think a good way to proceed would be if this committee discovers some need for a local audit someplace, we ask the finance office to send or to have Alvin Yip look at it and have him give results to this committee, and then we'll have some basis upon which to determine if we already, as a foundation, have enough resources to cover our needs with our current internal auditor, or if we should consider having an outside auditor as well.
Okay.
So we just need some work to give to Alvin.
Work to give. Okay. Alvin is like fully hired, right? So he's on a salary.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my understanding.
But you know, the only potential problem I see with it is that presumably that individual reports to the CFO, you know, rather than to this committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we were investigating the CFO, we would have a problem if we were relying on someone who is who reports to him.
You are a mind reader, a psychic. My question was, you know, I have no idea how Alvin Yip was hired, what was the process. And I think this all this stuff, again, goes to the whole idea of what Ted and Don said to a certain extent. The policies and procedures, you know, what are the purview, the powers of the CFO and of the executive office? What is the role of what are the roles of the local board and the national board in, you know, being a check and balance in this situation? You know, I've been on this audit committee for three years now. I have no idea how Alvin was hired, and so forth and so on. So I believe these are the things that we really need to look at.
If I might weigh in on this, Bertold, you just reminded me of something, and it's one of the things that got this foundation in a very deep financial hole, and that was the cost of national board meetings.
Uh-huh.
There were, I think, some board meetings where the cost was $20,000, and maybe more than that, maybe much more than that.
Much more than that. Yes.
Okay.
More than that.
Okay. Extraordinarily high amounts with no transparency on any of the decision making. I have been arguing for about 2 years now that the National Board needs to set times and dates of their meetings. I think the bylaws also need to be amended so that no National Board meeting is held in a city three times before it's held in a city once, so as to avoid going to New York in the dead of winter or going to Los Angeles in the worst part of the summer. Or maybe you want to go to L.A. so you can go to the beach. But at least you have some flexibility in the bylaws, and you can plan far ahead financially so that free facilities can be secured for both housing and for the location of the meetings. By doing it one meeting after another, it becomes extraordinarily expensive. And I'm sure that the last National Board meeting was held, if I understood it correctly, at a Marriott hotel in Midtown, New York City, which I would imagine got us back into that kind of a financial hole, but there was no transparency. We never saw any kind of a vote by anybody, nor did we see the National Board authorize the executive director or the national office to have the authority to make those kinds of decisions. So it's all about process, and it translates into money, but it also translates into other things.
Mary Berg here.
Yes, Mary?
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, the PNB did authorize the National Office and the ED to go ahead and make the arrangements. I could be wrong, but that's my recollection. And the second thing is, I think that issue of where and when meetings are is really not part of the audit committee work, so I'd kind of like to get back to the topic at hand.
Well, Mary,
we're not scheduling meetings or recommending the scheduling of meetings, so I don't think that's our...
No, okay. I was going beyond the scope of my point was that if we see that decisions are being made and they're not being made following proper protocol, I think that is within the realm of this committee.
Well, I think this was at a public meeting. It's been archived. I think anyone can hear meetings, if I'm not mistaken, that where the arrangements were made, so I don't see what was improper.
I'm not talking about this specific meeting. I'm talking about meetings in general, and I served as the parliamentarian of this foundation as the bylaws were being adopted, and in every instance, I never saw any kind of a vote on when, where, or where and how much money would be allocated for the arrangements for those national board meetings. Never.
Okay, I'd like to chime in on that. I think maybe we can... I think that is part of the financial, the budgeting for the year. And of course, the budget can be reviewed by the audit committee and so forth and so on. But I think this is really the responsibility of the finance group, Pacifica Finance Group. That should be their job. You know, they should make sure that all expenses are reasonable, you know, accounted for, affordable, and then we should audit to see if, based on what the Finance Committee recommended and agreed and approved, that, you know, the national office, the local board, and so forth and so on are acting accordingly, you know, and then that's why we should actually, that's why an audit committee should actually go and look at documents and ask for documents and review them and to see if those documents that were said to be done were done actually properly. But I don't think it's our place to. The finance is more of like a policy and procedure on that, and then this set the budget. The budget is the big thing that everybody should really be focusing on and pushing to have a lot of transparency and discussion, which seems like it's not happening much.
Don White here.
Yes, Don.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Mary that we maybe should return to the issue. I mean, the paid staff is mandated to make certain arrangements, but there's criteria.
Marnie.
Criteria like a union hotel. We can't go to a non-union hotel. The package, the hotel puts in a lot of into a package in addition to rooms, which are like meeting halls and so on. But let's get back to the issue that Terry brought up. We do have an internal auditor, but there are several problems. Some of the problems have been raised by other members of this committee. One of the problems is unless there is a procedure for normal auditing of Signal Area finances answerable to governance, then it always appears as though someone is suspicious in bringing in someone. Like there's a problem, you know, there's malfeasance or there's some issue. So Mr. Yip, I'm sure, is a competent internal auditor answerable to the CFO. But when an LSB calls in someone from the outside, then management begins to get nervous, like, well, what's the problem here? Who's suspicious of what we're doing? So I think, you know, I would remain true to advocating some kind of a procedure, and I know money is the big issue. It's expensive to hire auditors to audit the books at Signal Areas, not only books but also procedures and so on. But I would oppose, just on principle, relying on a internal auditor in Berkeley to be called in, because it creates an odd dynamic. I would still hold out for some kind of routine procedural auditing of the five Signal Areas answerable to governance as well as to management, rather than relying on in-house audits of that nature.
So can we come up with a proposal, a few points to ask the CFO to give us a cost analysis of what that might cost?
I think that's very good. Yeah, that would be very
good. But
it
would be
important.
Upon us to come up with some specification or some general things we would like and let him work out the numbers for us.
That probably is a subcommittee mandate. The subcommittee can be working on that, not this committee at this time, but the subcommittee should be thinking of these issues as we all work on it.
This is Marnie. I'd like to get on stack.
Hi, Marnie.
Hi.
If I thought I heard you say you're wondering how much it would cost to add an employee to Pacifica to do auditing and their T&E and all that for traveling, I would just throw out a ballpark figure of $100,000. So, I mean, I don't think we need, you know, that includes travel. But I would think that's what you'd have to pay for a decent auditor and their travel. So I don't know that we need to make it rocket science to try to figure out what this would cost. I think that's definitely a ballpark.
Mary Berg here.
Hi, Mary Berg.
I think that that's a pretty good ballpark from my experience.
So are we talking about hiring one auditor that would be going back and forth, or hiring, instead of an FTE full-time employee, hire temp, or not temp, but part-time, you know, auditors living in each area that would come in at a specific time or once in a while and you know, be assigned this account, you know, like the consultants do, and so that auditor would probably spend like 2 months a year coming and auditing, so they would know that this is an account they have, this is a contract they have, instead of paying for all this transportation and stuff and so forth. It would be somebody locally who would come and audit, but would report not to the local board or to anybody locally, but would report to the National Audit Committee or and the National Finance Committee if need be.
Terry on stack.
Terry?
Yeah, I think I'd like to propose that that the audit committee authorize its chair to request of the foundation staff a copy of the job description for the internal auditor for committee review. Because it may be that the committee could recommend revision to that job description that would meet any concerns the committee has regarding the independence of our internal auditor because of who he reports to. We could recommend changes to that job description and to the reporting format if we had a problem with whatever is there.
Okay, Terry, let's get a little formal here. You're speaking to the motion. So can you, like, state that motion?
Yeah. Move that the audit committee request that its chair ask foundation staff to provide to the committee the job description for the foundation internal auditor, Alvin Yip.
This is Harrison. I got a couple of things I'd like to say.
Is there any second to that motion?
I second it.
Okay, so open for discussion.
Did Mary get the motion?
Well, I have here moves that we request the job description we request from the national office. Is that the wording? I missed that. A job description of Alvin Yip, the current internal auditor. That's what I have.
Yeah, the motion was that the committee request its chair to foundation staff for that job description for committee review.
Okay.
Okay. There was someone who wanted to speak. I believe that was Brian.
Harrison.
I've got a couple comments I want to make. First of all, I have a great deal of sympathy for the general tenor of the remarks that Don and Bertold and Ted have been making, that it seems to me that a failing of the foundation for a long, long time, and I think we are making some headway with, is to improve the transparency of our finances and bring them under some kind of democratic control.